been a busy week in 2016 presidential politics. It is going to be an even busier weekend, so let's get right to it.
Here and now, 2016.
I love that. NPR has confirmed that former First Lady, New York Senator, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will announce on Sunday afternoon that she is running for president. Big surprise. On Monday, Florida Senator Marco Rubio is expected to do the same, becoming the third Republican to formally enter the race. And earlier this week, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul declared that he is running. Let's bring in our guest to talk about all of this and more, Tamara Keith, White House correspondent for NPR. Hi, Tamara.
Hi there.
And Paul Steinhauser, political director at NH1 News and special political correspondent for The Washington Post. He's at New Hampshire Public Radio in that all-important first primary state. Paul, welcome to you.
Jeremy, thank you. I enjoyed that music there. That
was, I know. Nice. They're so great, those guys. Well, Tam, everybody has been waiting for Hillary Clinton to enter this race. And after all that waiting, she's doing it on a Sunday. What do you make of that?
She's doing it her way, and she is likely to do it with a video or a tweet or maybe a tweet that links to a video, pretty low key, which will be followed, we're told, a couple of days later by some pretty low key events in these early states, starting in Iowa. We're talking living rooms rather than arenas,
huh. and it's
very much on purpose. It's an effort by Hillary Clinton to say that she's taking nothing for granted, to try to break this inevitability thing that they consider a problem.
Paul, your thoughts on this, a Sunday announcement from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, you know, it's very different than what happened 8 years ago when she announced, and that was a much bigger deal, though she did announce on social media 8 years ago as well. But as Tamara's just saying, this is going to be much smaller events in Iowa, New Hampshire, and elsewhere, much more low-key than last time around. There obviously were mistakes last time around, and they want to correct them this time around. We also just learned that right here in New Hampshire, Hillary Clinton making some more hires, beefing up her campaign political team here in New Hampshire just ahead of the big announcement this weekend.
And she could face a challenge from the left. We don't know yet. Maybe Martin O'Malley, maybe Lincoln Chafee, who nobody expected, Rhode Island's former governor, who's a former Republican, then former independent, now a Democrat after a change 2 years ago to declare that he was going to run. But he did that yesterday, and he immediately criticized Hillary Clinton for her yes vote as a senator on the Iraq War. He was on MSNBC last night and was asked if there was anything that Clinton could say to win over anti-war critics.
Well, I think she tried in her book, and I just don't think it was a sincere enough effort to explain that vote in any convincing way.
Paul, is Hillary Clinton vulnerable on the Iraq issue now so many years, more than, what, we're 12 years after she took that vote?
The vote that keeps coming back to haunt her, I guess you could say. There are some on the left. Yeah, there are some on the left that are still upset with that vote. And for them, it is still an issue. Overall, there are plenty of people on the left. And right here in New Hampshire, I've talked to a lot of them, that if they're not crazy about Hillary Clinton, at least they want a contested primary. They don't want this to be a coronation. They don't want Hillary Clinton to just walk in and take the nomination without a fight. And that's why there is a clamor. There was a clamor, obviously, for Elizabeth Warren. She's not going to run. But maybe Martin O'Malley, who was just up here a week and a half ago, or even a Bernie Sanders, if he decides to run on the Democratic ticket, or even how I guess a Lincoln Chafee could be that alternative candidate to at least give her a fight.
All right. Well, meanwhile, on the Republican side, Senator Rand Paul announcing on earlier this week on Tuesday that he is going to run, and he immediately got into some trouble by being a little too aggressive with Savannah Guthrie on NBC's Today Show. Let's listen.
You once said Iran was not a threat. Now you say it is. You once proposed ending foreign aid to Israel. You now support it, at least for the time being. And you once offered to drastically cut defense spending, and now you want to increase it 16%. So I just wonder if you've mellowed out.
Why don't you let me explain instead of talking over me, okay? Before we go through a litany of things you say I've changed on, why don't you ask me a question? Have I changed my opinion?
Have you changed your opinion?
That would be sort of a better way to approach an interview.
Okay.
No.
Is Iran still not a threat?
You've editorialized. No.
Okay, so that went on. And this is something that people pointed out. He had done something similar in an interview with a female CNBC reporter back in February. And on Wednesday night, Fox News Channel's Megyn Kelly asked if Paul was ready for prime time.
people are accusing you now of being too thin-skinned.
Well, I think we could all get better. I mean, I'm not perfect. And, you know, we try to do this starting from 7 in the morning till 10 at night some nights. But the thing is that contentious interviews are not one-sided in the sense that, oh, it's all my fault that there's a contentious interview. If people start out and basically start out with mischaracterizing your position and then saying, well, defend why you've changed your position when, in reality, the question should be, did I change my position? Because on all three questions, my answer is no, I didn't change my position.
Tamara Keith, how big of a problem is this for Rand Paul?
Savannah Guthrie is like America's sweetheart, right? Like you don't really want to get in a fight with America's sweetheart. And the thing is that there has been sort of a pattern. So the real issue for him is that he made his big announcement. He goes on tour. And what is everyone talking about? They're talking about some television interviews he did that didn't go very well. And what is he saying in subsequent interviews? Well, you know, maybe I do get too short-tempered sometimes. This is really something I should work on. That's not the kind of messaging you want to do right out of the gate.
And, Paul, you actually talked to him this week, and he got a little testy with you.
He did. I did a one-on-one interview with him just before his big rally. That was very quick. Afterward, though, after he did the big rally in New Hampshire, he had a media availability, and I got a question in as well about abortion in the Democratic National Committee, and he got pretty testy with me. I've seen him do it in the past with other reporters, male and female. But when it comes to national security, there's a bigger point here, and that is he's got a problem. This is going to be, at least as of now, a national security foreign policy election, and that is his one vulnerable issue by far when it comes to a Republican electorate. There are a lot of hawks out there who don't trust him one bit against ISIS, on Iran, on a host of other issues.
That he's not seen as strong enough from people on the right. They're not with him on foreign policy.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons Lindsey Graham may run for the White House as well on the Republican side, just to stop Rand Paul when it comes to national security.
Well, and foreign policy came up when it comes to somebody who has not yet declared but looks like he's going to run, and that is Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. He came out against the Iran nuclear deal, as many Republicans did, that President Obama has been negotiating. On Tuesday on NPR, President Obama told Steve Inskeep that would set a bad precedent.
That's going to be a problem for our friends, and that's going to embolden our enemies. And it would be a foolish approach to take. Perhaps Mr. Walker, after he's taken some time to bone up on foreign policy, will feel the same way.
Tamara, interesting to hear President Obama specifically talk about a candidate and not even a candidate who's gotten into the race yet. Are Democrats worried about running against Scott Walker?
You know, I think that people underestimate Scott Walker at their peril. Scott Walker has won 3 gubernatorial elections, or 1 recall and 2 gubernatorial elections. He has an amazing ability to raise money. And so, yes, Democrats are paying attention to him. But, you know, President Obama was asked about Scott Walker. The thing that's fascinating to me is that after that interview aired, Scott Walker sends out a tweet responding to the president and signs it with his name, so you know it's him. 10 minutes later, he sends another tweet. 10 minutes after that, he sends another tweet. I think the president maybe got under his skin a little bit.
Interesting. And what about Jeb Bush? Paul, let's get to you. And there was a little trouble this week for Jeb Bush when an old voter registration form came to light and it showed that he had declared himself as Hispanic in the past, which, by the way, he is married to a Hispanic woman, but he himself is not Hispanic.
Not Hispanic, no doubt about it. A little bit of an embarrassing moment. They tried to make it humorous. But, you know, listen, in this day and age where we've seen so many problems when it comes to, I guess you could say, the resume. Remember Elizabeth Warren, when she was first running for the Senate, declared as a Native American.
Right.
So, yes, it's not going to be an issue that's going to last for him. But it was a talker this week, no doubt about it. But
well, how's he looking right now in the race?
How's he looking? He's still the front runner. In fact, we have a poll coming out at NH1. I'm going to give you guys the scoop, though, because I haven't even put it up on our website yet.
All right.
Right here in
New
Hampshire, among those likely to vote in the Republican primary next year, Walker's actually number one up here at around 23%, Jeb Bush in second place at around 17%. If you look at all the polls and average them together, the state polls, the national polls, right now Bush is slightly ahead of Walker, and then you got Rand Paul and a bunch of others. It's a name recognition thing right now. That name recognition will help him. But it'll also hurt him here in New Hampshire as well.
Where's
and Bush is thought to be leading the money race, of course. We don't have the exact numbers yet, but he's got the money, which means that even if he isn't the front runner initially, he can hang on for a while.
Where's Chris Christie in that poll?
Chris Christie is down in the pack at about 6%. Christie's coming up here next week. We all know the story with Chris Christie. You know, about a year and a half ago, he was going to win the nomination, right?
Yeah.
But times have changed for Chris Christie. But it sure looks like he's going to be getting in now. He's beefing up staff in the early voting states like here and elsewhere. And I think you're going to see a real push by Chris Christie over the next month or two.
Although there could be some indictments next week in the Bridgegate scandal that he has been dealing with. But we will get to that next week as we continue to cover 2016. Tamara Keith, NPR White House correspondent, who's going to be covering the Clinton campaign, which starts on Sunday, and Paul Steinhauser, political director at NH1 News and special correspondent for The Washington Post. Thanks to both of you.
This was fun.
Thank you.